Emmy Award-winning CNN correspondent Tom Forman has survived natural disasters, eluded knife-wielding criminals, and ducked beneath gunfire in war zones. But he never imagined that the most frightening moment of his life would take place during a Thanksgiving dinner. That was when his 18-year-old daughter asked how he'd feel about running a marathon with her just 16 weeks away. As a young man, Forman had been a talented runner, but his last marathon was nearly three decades in the past. He tells the story in his new book, My Year of Running Dangerously, A Dad, a Daughter, and a Ridiculous Plan. It is Forman's memoir of a single year in which he went from being an armchair athlete to competing in four half marathons, three marathons, and a 55-mile ultra marathon, not to mention covering 2,000 miles in training. Tom Forman is a four-time Emmy Award-winning journalist who is currently a correspondent for CNN. He frequently reports for such programs as The Lead with Jake Tapper, The Situation Room with Will Flitzer, and Anderson Cooper 360. It's a great pleasure to welcome Tom Forman to the roundtable. Tom, thank you very much for being with us. Very nice to have you
here. Good to be here, Joe. It's a nice morning.
Very nice to have you with us. So give us a sense of at what point in your life did you know that you not only were enjoying what you were doing, but wanted to write about this foray with running?
Well, I'll tell you, I certainly didn't start running with writing in mind. I just started running because my older daughter, who was 18 at the time, just starting college, wanted me to help her train for a marathon. And I had trained for marathons and run them back in my 20s, but now I was in my 50s, and that seemed completely beyond the pale. But dads and daughters, and she asked, and I said yes. And then as the running grew from there, and I knew that being in my 50s, I really had to train for it, I trained harder than I ever had in my life so that I wouldn't get injured and so that I could actually accomplish this. And it just kept growing from there. And as it grew, it turned into this single year in which I went from sort of a standing start to doing four half marathons, three full marathons, a 55-mile ultra marathon, and about 2,000 miles of training. And somewhere in that process, I started thinking, this is quite a story.
Now, it is, I think, important to note that you had been a talented runner. This was something that was in your past that you were interested in before.
Yeah, it wasn't like I'd never had the sense of what running was about, and I'd always kept a little bit into it, in that I could still go out and run a 10K or something like that, and maybe a half marathon. But it had been a long time since I'd actually made running a full part of my life. So it was a real change on that front. And honestly, what made it a story was not so much the running. People ask me sometimes, what is this about? And I say, well, this is really a book about change and about getting older and about how your relationships with your kids change as they get older. And it happens to have a lot of running in it. But that's because running was the mechanism for dealing with and coping with all of these things that happen to all of us as we get older, whether you're turning 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70.
Your daughter had just started college, and you're at the Thanksgiving table, and she says, do you want to do this? You have about 16 weeks to prepare. You were somewhat reluctant, but you say yes. And I assume, at least I got the sense in the book, that you thought of this as a way of, look, my daughter is away at school. This is a way that we can be together.
Yeah, it is that. And it's also a way that we could come up with a new language between parent and child when your children are no longer children. You know, kids get to be 18, 19, 20, 21, and your relationship with them simply cannot be the same as when they were 10 years old, no matter how much you may want it to be. And so as part of that evolution, I thought, well, this is a good thing because it's a blank page. We don't have a great long history of running together, although we had done some running together over the years. But this is something that we can start anew, and there is no father-child relationship about running. There is more of a father-young adult relationship, and that was part of the greatness of it. And yeah, every single day we exchange phone calls or text messages or emails that would say, how did your run go today? Well, I did this, and this felt good, and this felt bad. And that was a wonderful feeling, and gradually Since then, my younger daughter, Allison, and my wife, Linda, have also sort of joined into that circle. So we don't run all the time. Running doesn't rule our house, but running is something that we all enjoy and that has become part of the language of a house that is more mature than when we had little kids in the house.
When you would work on it at the beginning, where was your daughter in this? Was this something that, she was advanced in and was well on her way in the training?
No, she was not. She had been, in her freshman year of high school, she ran on the cross-country team and had a really hard time of it because she has tended to be very good at most things she has taken on. And her cross-country team had some very gifted runners on it. And she was struggling, truly, to bring up the back of the pack. And it crushed her. She hated it and just felt very, very bad about it. I thought it was useful because I've often said that the most important things we learn probably in life are from our failures, not from our successes. But that had been a real setback to her. And so this, for her, was in some ways a quest for redemption and something that she did not feel good about. So her beginning ground was almost zero. She really had very little running underneath her to start this. She just said, we have 16 weeks, let's start now. And I had little bit more than that, but only because of my lifelong association with running. I certainly was not in any kind of regular training regimen at that point at all. And it felt like unfolding a stepladder when I stepped out on the road the first time.
What is it like for anyone, and whether you've trained or not, to get ready for a marathon? Give us a sense of setting your goal and knowing what you ultimately wanted to accomplish.
I think the first thing that most people have to do when they want to take on this sort of thing, and frankly, with the holidays coming upon us, many people will start embracing this idea as we head toward New Year's in particular, and they may start now. I think the first thing that people have to do is be really realistic about time, because marathon training takes time. You're probably going to be running, to be safe and reasonable, you're going to be running anywhere from 40 to 45 or 50 miles a week to be ready for a marathon. You can do it on a little bit less, but that's really a safe zone. 40 miles a week of running takes a good number of hours, and people have to be realistic about that. I think for people who are doing it the first time, their goal has to be realistic too, and their first goal has to be merely to complete the marathon feeling okay, no matter what amount of time that takes. And then beyond that, it becomes a little more refined. If you're in your second or third or fourth marathon, you can work a little more on time and things that you're aiming for, but the issues with time for training are always going to be there. And a lot of us say, who run a lot of marathons, the marathon is actually the reward. The marathon is fun. The work is all the training. By the time you get to the marathon, it should be a pleasure to run. It shouldn't be an agony. It should be a fun thing to do, even if you've never done 26 miles, even if your training has only been up to 18 or 19 miles. Your training should be such that you've done the hard work.
So the New York Marathon is coming up this weekend. Will you be running in that marathon?
I will be running in that one, and it should be pretty good fun. I've got that will cap off, if everything goes correctly along the way here, that will cap off 7 marathons in 22 days for me, including 5 in a row, and including the Chicago Marathon and the Marine Corps Marathon. So I'll be fairly tired by the time I get to New York. But Ronnie, who ran with me in the book, will also be there to run with me in New York. So that'll be a lot of fun. And, of course, running through the boroughs is always great, great fun. And the crowds are huge and wonderful. And it's just a tremendous celebration. So I'm looking forward to it, no matter how tired I am.
What makes something like that important to you, of the number, of wanting to run that many in that short a period of time?
Because it's a new challenge, you know. One of the things about this is I write late in the book, one of my daughters asked me after my first ultra marathon, my first 55-mile race, she says, what makes you do this if it hurts so bad and it's so difficult? And one of the things I say is that as you get older, life becomes an awful lot about protecting things. You're trying to protect your income, you're trying to protect your job, your house, all of those things. And you need to do that because for the stability of your colleagues at work and your family and everyone else, they need you to be really stable. But that can have a really smothering effect of just sort of playing it safe all the time. And this was something I could do that wasn't playing it safe, that I really can fail at, and the world doesn't come crashing down, but I can challenge myself. And that's what all the runs this fall are about. It's like, well, I've never done that before. It'll be interesting to see if I can get through 7 marathons in 22 days, and if I feel okay at the end of that, 2 weeks later, I'll run the Stone Mill 50-mile race, which is the one that's featured in the book. So I'll run that, and that would be my fourth 50-mile ultramarathon.
And when you think of this, is there an end for you of saying, okay, now I've accomplished this, or it has become a part of your life and you will continue to look for a marathon that you find interesting?
The end will be when I get you to go with me, Joe.
There you go. Well, that may be a while, Tom.
No, I mean, there may be a natural end where I just can't support that kind of mileage. And frankly, like I said, my life isn't all about running. I mean,
right.
This job at CNN is a demanding job. I'm very much involved with my daughters and my wife and other things we do that are fun. I play music and I paint and I read a lot and that sort of thing. So I don't want my life to always be about nothing but running. I imagine that once this is done, I would like to run, while I'm still capable of it, I might want to try to run one or two more fast marathons, because I think I could do that, and training for speed is very different than training for just unending endurance. And I don't know if I'll keep doing ultra runs, although I have several friends who I've run some of these 50-milers with, who have really been leaning on me saying, come on, you have to do at least one 100-mile race, which I will continue to consider. But that's 24 hours of running, and that's a long time to run. 12 hours of running is a lot, but 24 feels like, oh, boy, that's a long time to be out there.
Obviously, it's safe to say that you don't have much of a book if you don't have challenges that you've overcome. For you, what were the big ones?
The biggest challenge, which remains to this day, is doubt. And I think, you know, many running books or books about people overcoming things often have this sense of overwhelming confidence and of triumph. And that really wasn't what this was about. This is as much about the doubt, because we all have that, because most of us, most days, in truth, probably fail more than we succeed. Because there are a million little setbacks on any given day. And overcoming doubt is an awful lot about the core of this. And truth be told, to this day, I have tremendous doubts about my running. There are many times I'm out there, and for some reason the rhythm isn't right, and my legs don't feel right, and I think to myself, oh, who are you kidding? You're a guy in his 50s, and you have no business trying to cover these miles, and you're not a real runner. There are real runners out here, and they're much better than you. All of which is true. But this is about overcoming that doubt and saying, well, yeah, but even if all of that's true, what do? Just go home and mope about it? No, you keep putting one foot in front of the other, and you keep trying. So the biggest challenge in all of this is not the length of the course. It's not the other runners, it's not the terrain, and it's not the weather. It is that little voice in the back of your head saying, quit. And that afflicts all of us in almost everything we do, in our relationships, in our jobs, in our commitments to ourselves, and to even walking the dog. There are a million things saying to you, just quit. Just sit down and take it easy. And I think overcoming that voice is a pretty big part to being happy. And maybe it involves some misery along the way, but I think that's just life in general. There are very few things that I've ever had that I've enjoyed, physical or spiritual or otherwise, that I haven't had to suffer a little bit for. That seems to be what makes it worthwhile.
The name of the new book is My Year of Running Dangerously. Tom Foreman is the author. It's published by Blue Rider Press. Tom, thank you very much for sharing with us, and best of luck to you in the travels and in the marathons, and we thank you very much for spending time with us.
It's a pleasure, Joe, and I'll see you on the trail.
Right, thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is My Year of Running Dangerously. Tom Foreman is the author. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.